Good afternoon. This is Brad Foreman reporting live from Camp 1 at Everest, above Everest Base Camp. It's all the way in late April, the 27th, and this is episode 55, day 23 of my expedition. Boy, we got a lot to go over. I hope you're ready for a really exciting podcast. First of all, thank you for listening. If you have any comments, feel free to leave your thoughts on any of the active podcast platforms, Spotify, Google, Amazon. Also, share with your friends and family. Get them encouraged to get out and enjoy the outdoors. So yesterday was a huge day, one I've been waiting for 2 years. 2 years. It was the ice falls, the infamous ice falls. If you recall from previous episodes, we were not going to go through the ice falls if we did the north side. But now that we have been pushed back to the south side, the Nepalese side, we had to conquer the ice fall. It's basically the first feature right outside of base camp. And boy, I had no idea of the difficulty we were going to be faced with yesterday. So our crew got up at midnight. I basically rolled out around 1 a.m. And we departed in the dark at 2 in the morning. 2 in the morning from Everest Base Camp. It was a chilly 6 degrees approximately. Serki, our professional cook, was up getting us some porridge, toast, and coffee. It's, I don't know how many of you have started an expedition early in the wee hours of the morning, but it's kind of a cross between high anxiety and a free-for-all, making sure you have all your stuff. But as usual, we were able to get everybody together. Team looked good. And we moved from base camp into the ice fields. So this ice field I'm actually sitting on right now, the Kumba Icefall, is ginormous. I mean, it measures maybe a half a mile, maybe a quarter mile across as the crow flies. And then it stretches all the way from base camp up to the base of Everest. So it's quite long. We got into the ice falls in the dark and immediately started getting different speeds of climbers. We had a number of other climbers from other expeditions. So everybody's commingled, making things a little bit more confusing. But we progressed up through the starting hours of the ice falls. You put on your crampons. You have a backpack on that weighs about 20, 25 pounds. Of course, our Sherpa teammates carry a majority of everything. So basically, we have it quite easy under extremely difficult circumstances, in my mind. We get up into the ice falls, and you know, you're climbing, there's fixed lines, there's a low light visibility, although there was a nice three-quarter moon, so that was magical. Slight snow falling, and you know, you're just waiting for whatever's up next. The previous day, we had experienced the first 10% of the ice falls, maybe 5% of the ice falls. So the first part was familiar. But from that point on, it was anybody's guess. So one of the really crazy things, amongst a number that I'm going to talk about in this podcast, is we got to one point and we were, you know, it was kind of a flat area on the ice. crevasses on either side. Big block of ice we were standing next to. When I say big, you know, could go 50, 60, 80 feet in the air. I don't know. And then all of a sudden, there was this big crack over to the climber's left. And this crack was like ear-piercing in the silence of the night. And all of a sudden, you know, you look over, you can't see that far, but it felt like it was maybe 50 yards, 100 yards away. And a big ice sarac cracked off and avalanched down. And then what happens, this big powder shower, you know, there's so much force behind this explosion. This, all the powder that lays on the glacier is puffed out in a cloud. So you turn your back to it because you're just going to get smacked with a powder cloud. And that happened for a couple minutes. I've never had a sarac in the night collapse like that before, so it was really exciting, but it also reminded me of how dangerous at any moment, you know, you could get nailed by one of these things. But it was pretty cool, I will have to admit. So we kept moving up, and because of the temperature, the difficulty of the terrain, you're basically going up and down small ice mountains for hours and hours in the dark. So people get split up. And of course, I'm in the middle somewhere. And it was probably one of the most rewarding experiences climbing through the ice field solo with the silence, with a full moon. It was surreal. It was magical. Something I'll never forget. And also, you know, there was a degree of danger, so, you know, you're paying serious attention because you're on your own. And then, of course, there's a Sherpa running by you, literally jogging by you while you're ascending. These guys are superhuman. I have all the respect in the world for these guys. It's quite incredible. So we continue up. We heard on the radio that one of our teammates, and why we got so disheveled with our group from staying with as one group into many groups, is our Canadian client wasn't feeling good and had to turn back. It was it must have been heartbreaking for Emma, and but the right thing to do, if she's not feeling good, you shouldn't be up on the mountain. So one of our guides took the bullet and escorted her back. Actually, one of the Sherpas, too, because it's super dangerous. And our thoughts go out to Emma. It's got to be very, very difficult. I can only imagine if I was in her shoes, the pain would be endless after years of training. But anyhow, we weren't really sure of the result, you know, what was going on at that time. You're kind of, it's a confusing situation when, you know, there's only a couple radios on the mountain. And of course, I didn't have one. So we just continue on and, you know, try to be as safe as possible. So I had in my mind, it was going to be 6-7 hours. So when daybreak occurred, I had caught up with the lead group, Jacob and a couple of other clients, and I only, to my surprise, discovered we weren't even anywhere near camp. So it was going to be a longer day than I expected, but you know, that's the way it is. We continued up and down and up and down. So there's these other feature that's really crazy, are these aluminum ladders. Perhaps you painted the house at home, the exterior of your home. You might have pulled one of these flimsy looking aluminum ladders out. Well, they use the aluminum ladders because they're so light to cross crevasses and climb steep parts that might have a crevasse in the steep part. So the whole time we are faced with not too many ladders, but a couple. And that was exciting, and you know, a new first at night going on these ladders. But I think from what we're being told, they've replaced a lot of ladders with a longer walk-around solution. Now, we don't know if that's because of economic reasons. You know, the ladders cost money. It's difficult to get them up here, or safety. Maybe it's safer to walk around and make it longer. I know, I just don't know. But I do know we had one huge day. It could have been one of the largest days. You know, it's definitely in my top 10 largest days of hiking, climbing. You know, when the sun came out, it really started warming up. And as you'll recall from previous episodes, heat and myself are not the best. So, you know, stripped down layers and continued up the objective. And I have to admit, when we did see the first tents of Camp 1, it was emotionally satisfying. It was a very nice moment. You know, you're just not sure up here, going from over top of Glacier to the next, how far away our first camp would be. So let me give you some statistics, because I had no idea what we were in for yesterday. The camp, one, I did know was at 19,800 feet above sea level. What I didn't know is to get there, we would go up and down, up and down, up and down, 6,000 plus vertical feet. So 6,000 vertical feet at this elevation is pretty exhausting, for me anyhow. These Sherpas seem to do it like it's, you know, like walking down to the corner drugstore. But for me, it was challenging. So we got up to our camp. It was, and I was literally fatigued until I had my first little top ramen snack that started making me feel a little bit more with it. So that was good, getting some food into my system. Let's talk about 19,800 vertical feet above sea level. Well, a couple of the things that go on is I found with my body, I get congested when I'm really working out hard at this elevation. So congestion is set in. Sleep is poor at best. You know, you kind of roll around, or I do, being the first time up here. And it's fatiguing. You find yourself out of breath, and you know, you got to pace yourself. That's what's going on the rest of yesterday. On to the D24. Today, we took a short hike up towards base camp, or Camp 2. Camp 2 we're going to be making a move to tomorrow. And so, just to get a feel for what we're up against, as we did in at the base camp Everest 2 days ago, we took a little stroll up the hill, up the glacier, I should say. And it was quite nice. At least for me, it felt I'm acclimatizing. I wasn't as out of breath. Camp 2, they say we're going to be able to achieve in 3 or 4 hours. You know, who knows how accurate that will be. We'll have our packs. Today, we didn't really carry anything to speak of except for water and, you know, emergency gear. Camp 2, we're going to stay at for a couple days. So we will be doing a episode 56 plus up there. Because that's the high point of this rotation. Remember, we're on rotation 1, season 4, Everest. and episode 55. I'm going to tell you, I have some extremely great photos. We're going to be posting when I get back to civilization. That'll be on peakspodcast.rocks. You'll be able to catch all that video and photo content. Why are we doing this? We are giving all monies that are generated from this expedition to Kids at Risk. You can go to www.foreman7project.org, foreman7project.org, and we'll help kids get out into the outdoors and see things like this, or even parks or whatever natural elements they have near them. The other objective of Peaks Podcast is to encourage each of the listeners to get out and enjoy the outdoors. I may be tired, but every hour of the pain yesterday was worth it to be up here. Let me describe on the wrap up. I'm 15 feet from a crevasse that goes down hundreds of feet. I'm looking up at peaks that are 7,000 meters. So that would be the equivalent of, you know, over 21,000. Between 20,000 and 30,000 feet, we can see Everest, although clouds have just moved in. The other unique thing that occurs up here, you know, so we're in a valley. So I'm sitting on this glacier that's moving down valley, and we're moving up valley to camp two. Well, throughout the day and evening, we hear these rumbles. It starts out as a low, deep rumble, and it can build. And what it is are these side glaciers off the walls of the surrounding peaks collapsing. Now, our camp, I'm told, I've asked about five times, I'm told our camp's really safe, and I think that's correct. But the avalanche debris is no more than maybe 300 yards from our tent. So we are right in the thick of things. It's pretty cool. A lot of action up here, a lot of Mother Nature happening, and it's beautiful. It's one of the primary reasons for being up here. Well, thank you all for listening to Peaks Podcast. We will have this live for you on your favorite podcast platform as soon as I get back towards civilization, where we can upload the episode 55, season 4. Thanks for listening, and have a great day. Bye-bye.